Morning, Ricky.
Good morning. How are you?
How doing? All right. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
I take it you all are open today.
Yes, we are.
I forgot it was a holiday when I scheduled this meeting, but it's one of those holidays where it's like you never know who has it. Hi, Damien.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I take it you guys are open today as well.
Yes.
I don't know any universities who close today anymore.
No, I can't think of any.
Hello, Muddy.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. It's been a while. Sorry.
No, we t totally understand. Things happen. It's fall
Yeah, I've been on
semester.
a Erasmus exchange or Erasmus stuff,
Ooh.
mobility.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, it's been super nice.
Where'd you go?
To Italy, to Florence. And I met with the Florence National Library, it was Folio as well.
Cool. I was about to say they do a lot of really neat folio stuff down there,
Yeah.
especially with
Lots of.
linked data and some of that work too.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but they have these special collections and with lots of things that needs to be managed so that the material is in the right hands and tracked, and so it was very interesting.
That's so cool. I would love to see their collections. I bet they're amazing.
They are.
Well, welcome everybody to today's Discovery SIG meeting. Thank you for joining today. I'll go ahead and put the agenda in the chat. So today, it's a shorter agenda. Not to we've pretty much covered a lot of the JIRA tickets by this point, which is great. I'm sure there's always more, but I think we've hit a majority. So it's really just kind of going over what's left over, and then I had a kind of question about the survey I wanted to bring to this group. So first updates, does anyone have any updates? I did put in the agenda the our UX Prod 3651, the ability to batch renew loans across multiple patrons, library users. And there has been a lot of activity going on there. And I know our last meeting we talked a lot about what to do with this ticket. So let me see if I can get to the notes. Here they are. Yeah, so Damien, it looks like you were the last one that commented. Do you want to kind of summarize what's been going on in that ticket since I know you've been following?
Oh, that still requires me to remember something that happened more than an hour ago. So, let me find the ticket.
Yeah, I can put it in the chat as well.
Thank you. So let's see, where did we leave off on this?
Maybe I'm linking to the.
Oh, yeah, it looks like this is the general ticket, and then I opened the ticket with the specifications for the back end. Yeah, then there's been some discussion about how the API should actually work. Travis asked about how we would feel about it being an asynchronous API where you request the renewal, and then you get basically a ticket number, and you can check in periodically to see if the work is done yet. And I think that's probably okay, but it does add some complexity. So yeah, it's just been a back and forth technical conversation. There was also a question of what the upper limit on this might be, and I said, we didn't seem to see much in excess of 1,000, but never say never. And then UChicago chimed in saying they have special accounts that can have multiple thousands of loans because they're not people, they're service accounts, and they want to be able to renew these things automatically. So the use case is complex. But hopefully the discussion has been productive and helpful.
Excellent. Is this something you want me to add to the community priorities dashboard just to, or do you think the ticket gives enough information of like, see this ticket first because this is what's building the infrastructure for to make this happen?
Yeah, I think it definitely makes sense to say this is where the action is happening, and the other parts aren't going to happen until this is done first.
Gotcha. Okay, I can see if I can add that to the dashboard.
And I will just say I am alarmed that I could not remember this off the top of my head. It's only been 5 days, but it's been a very busy 5 days.
Yes, I'm not surprised. You're like, which of the many things I've been working on is this one? Yes. So, okay, and thank you for that clarification because I think I missed the part where it had moved. This conversation I moved to a different ticket and it was all happening in a different ticket. So that's 4805, and I'll add that to the notes as well. Okay. Is there anything that this group needs to do? Like, what is this in? Like, any information that. Let's see, do we have a PO for this one?
I mean, I guess I would say the way the wind is blowing, it seems likely to me that Brooks's proposed ticket asynchronous approach may be the way this goes. So if that's a problem for you, then you should comment about why that's a problem. If it's not, then I think it's probably what's going to happen. And I don't really see a way around that, because if you're going to say this needs to be able to do an unlimited amount of work, doing that synchronously doesn't necessarily make any sense.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then it has an assigned development team, which is what we like to see. Well, awesome. It's great to see movement on this. Thank you so much for putting that in there. And then I know Bernd had put in the information in as well that we had talked about last time. Yeah. And we had per. Sarah, me, Chicago, providing evidence of our really long list. But if anyone else have a really long list they want to put in the use cases, that could be some more good information. Okay, any other updates? Okay, moving on to discussion. So this first part of the discussion, I had just added on because I know like this group was created in part because we did a survey. How many years back now was it? Two? Okay. It's about 2 years back, just to identify the community's top priorities for discovery and Folio integration and use those to prioritize the work to be done within the product. And it also influenced some of the user side developments as well, I know, for the different interfaces. So I know we've talked about doing the survey again. I know we still kind of are like, it's too soon. So I'm like thinking maybe next year might, however, this group is feeling and where we're at that time, with our current work. But the thing, another thing I thought that of that we get asked semi-often is, do you have a list of people and what discovery system they're using? You know, especially if someone's setting up and they want to ask questions, they're looking for a directory. And I know implementers kind of has one. I think it's kind of old. Does any I'm seeing like, yeah, I know there's one out there because I've spoken with Tara about it, but it's kind of like hidden. It's on like a separate page and it's kind of like old. So I was just wondering if this is something, maybe a document we can provide the community, and how, if we agree that that's a good thing, how we would go about doing that.
The other question is whether this would overlap with something like Marshall Breeding's Library Technology Guides, which I know has a survey of ILSs and discovery systems and so forth. I haven't attempted to extract this information from there, but if we could get the data without resurveying and reinventing wheels, that's always ideal.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I think that's what prompted me to put this on the agenda. As I saw reading survey go out for this year, and I was like, oh yeah, there's this other thing I was think we that's been floating around. I don't believe so. In our survey, it was anonymous, and I think reading survey is anonymous as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like that,
No,
is it
he
public?
actually captures which libraries use which technologies. It's just a question of whether the granularity he uses is good enough for us because. There's always that ambiguity between web scale discovery service provider and actual discovery software that you're running. And so, Viewfind people, you can definitely find Viewfind in there, but what that
No,
means
he
may
does
vary.
discriminate between those two things, Damien. So
Oh,
like
okay.
Viewfind is the discovery layer versus EDS as the, index supplier. The problem with the Marshall Breeding website is almost that it's too differentiated. There's like three different Viewfind listings depending on which fork you're talking about, and like four different folio listings depending on whether you're talking EDS or index data hosting or whoever else. But the data is there and you can always kludge it back together. I do think that's a good source of data. To Nicole's original question, I'm interested to hear that Implementer SIG has sort of done part of that because I wasn't aware. I would have claimed that there was no listing, forget about discovery layers, that there was no listing of folio implementers, period. That, I mean, index data hasn't made its list public yet. And I don't think EBSCO, except it talks about 300, but I don't think there's an official list there either, right? So I don't think there is a list of folio implementers, let alone discovery platforms. But if Implementer SIG has one, that would be fantastic.
So,
No,
oh, so
the
that's a good question.
convener of the implementer SIG really well. In fact, she lives in my house, but she's asleep right now. So I would ask her, but I can ask and confirm if they're doing one and how well maintained it is. So.
Yeah, because I'm finding that link too. Like, if you have the link, always like I know it exists. Where's the link out there? That'd be great information. Thank you, Sarah. And you're I didn't even think about, oh yeah, there should be a public list of folio libraries as well with their respective discovery services that exist. And I didn't even think that Marshall Breeding's report got that granular, but yeah, I can take up to look for that granularity of data and see if it looks like what I'm expecting. I don't know what it looks like, but if it's enough, right? We're not gonna reinvent the wheel. It's there. We can then point people to it, in a way that makes sense to any questions we get.
Just to be clear, I think it would be awesome for the Folio community to have its own list of who uses Folio and some basic metadata like that. I think we could probably get it from Marshall Breeding, but it does seem like the sort of thing that a community should know by itself.
Okay.
One, and maybe a thing to do would be to come up with a way to programmatically build a list from Breeding's data. And then if we do a survey, we could, compare our results against that baseline, because no survey is going to be as comprehensive, I suspect, because not everybody answers them. But we might get some additional details that way.
Well, and I think, I mean, I assume there's things that we were going to want to know about who in our community does what so that we feel like a community and we can reach out to people, right? That doesn't include, it might be more granular or less granular than what Marshall's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not opposed to surveying. Just if the only thing we want to know is what are you using, those answers may already be out there.
Right. And then we can bring that back to the group and be like, this is what's out there. Is there anything else people want to know? And I mean, like, just discovery community as a whole, like, here's what's out there. Here's what we can point people to. Yeah. What are the pieces we're missing in this documentation that maybe we can fill that gap? Okay, thank you for that. And yeah, I also mentioned the big survey that we do in line with this one, simply because if we do something that's semi-regular, it's thinking of what pieces can we use from one to the next. Like, is part of the next survey, that second part of this documentation of like, hey, we have this documentation. Would you care to make yourself public and add some of these pieces that you are using, this app that you're using, that maybe others would want to know, that kind of thing. Any other questions about kind of a directory of Discovery and Folio users? And any thoughts about like the big survey, how often that should be done? Are we looking at a 3-year timeline? Or are we still looking at it like, let's not talk about this again for maybe another year, Nicole, because it seems too soon.
Maybe we don't have to do it the same, with the same level of ambition. The survey itself wasn't very complicated, but well, we had a free text, more or less, and the interpretation is, of course, tricky. But we could still make it useful to find the most important parts without making a presentation of, I don't know, 90 pages.
Well,
This is very true.
the other thing to think about is that we're in quite a different position now than we were for the first survey. Like, that was an initial environmental scan, and I think we now have a sense of the environment, and I don't think a whole lot has changed. But what has changed is us, because we are now a SIG and we have a more formal role. So maybe a future survey could have at least more of an element of what should we be doing on behalf of the community now that we're a SIG, rather than just what are your problems. And these things intersect, but I'm just saying we might phrase things a little differently if we did it again at this point.
I agree. I think it maybe could be a good time in, well, after a sunflower implementation has settled.
Yes, that's going to be keeping us all a little busy.
Yeah, the next spring or something.
Okay, I will add that. Like, wait till sunflower has bloomed. And then thinking about what questions we want to ask now, which is always any survey. What are your goals? What are you trying to learn? And it sounds like you want more than just problems, issues. How can this group serve? Yeah, and I think I'm looking to it as, whoever the discovery convener is, to always know those top priorities and to learn about more of like what's happening with the community priorities. How is that process going to work? Is there a way we can be in line with that process? Like, maybe we do the survey right before the community priorities are reset again, If that becomes a process that goes on, and then we always have fresh, or we know exactly what those top five are, which is more of the problems issue area, but it is an important part of like continually identifying what are people's pain points now, because those change over time, as they should, because things are getting solved, so that those pain points go away and new pain points develop. Cool. I put those in the discussion notes. If you have thoughts afterwards of things you want to see or do, feel free to come back in these meeting minutes and just add them here, and we can kind of keep this for after Sunflower when we maybe revisit this topic again. Okay, so the next on the agenda is to review the close tickets on the prioritization and JIRA board. And this is something that happened last time we were talking about, as a group, what should we be doing with JIRA tickets? So we're starting to get into the pattern of looking for newly created or updated things. And by new, I mean within the past however length of time between our last meeting and this meeting. And then the question came up about what about closed tickets? So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. So hopefully everyone can see the current JIRA tickets. So this is our prioritization dashboard. And you can see we have a number of tickets that have status as closed. So I guess the question is, what is our procedures for closed? Do we just look at them to be like, yep, it's closed. This is no longer an issue. Or do we keep them on this list? What is our process for dealing with these?
I guess part of this may be reliant on experience, because my initial inclination would be to say, if they're closed, they're closed, so we shouldn't have to look at them anymore. But if there's a history of things getting closed without actually being satisfactorily resolved, then having some kind of a workflow for verifying and flagging would make sense. I found that usually it always pays to verify everything because things slip through the cracks, but I also don't want to create endless amounts of work for everyone. So I think that's the balance that needs to be struck.
Is there an easy way to see for which release a closed ticket is expected?
There should be a milestone or release or something, though I guess it's complicated because all these components have their own versioning and
Okay, I think to verify that something is working as intended, you need to kind of test it. So this is Trillium, it says, to be decided. What does that mean in combination with closed?
I think maybe it means it's been slated for the Trillium release, but there's not a release date for Trillium yet. It's the TBD, the release date, maybe.
And what closed means done, or?
Well, that's true. Closed could mean a variety of things depending on what the resolution is. This one is closed as done. But done is a separate field from closed. And, it could also be closed as duplicate or closed as won't fix or any number of things. So maybe we need to look into adding a couple columns to our report.
Yeah, because we could. So you mean add the resolution field?
Oh, the resolution field is there already. I just saw it.
Oh, is it? Oh, here it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
So you
right
can
next to
see
status.
these are
So, yeah,
all,
closed
yeah.
as done.
And that
And I
one is
wonder if we.
indeed done, like it works. So, to the point before about verification, it's a question of like, do we need to do more verification than the people did when they were, verifying is done in the first place? And I guess my answer there is like, is there any different context of done from a discovery context versus done in the context that they mean? Or did they fit it, and maybe there is. It's probably worth at least a quick review if there was any additional context, I guess. Like in this particular case, this was a part one of two, and the other part is still open. And we have the other part listed, so I think it's not a big deal, but probably is worth a quick review.
Though I don't think we want to be on the hook for reviewing the closed status of every ticket that touches discovery in any possible way, because that's an endless rabbit hole. So I guess the question is, how do we judge when it's worth putting the effort into to doing an extra check? Or do we need to, track specific concerns independently of the tickets?
Maccabee, as the reporter on this, did you get did you get notifications as it moved through the process? I'm just curious.
I think so. Yeah, I did. And it was, there was a module specific linked issue that was subbed off of it, which Julian attacked like the day it existed. And then, it was fixed. And I think I got those emails and notifications as the person who created the original.
I assumed so. I just different Jiras are different. So, I guess my point that, or the reason I thought of it was just sort of, I think we have lesser degrees of interest on these sometimes, and this one I'm particularly interested in, and others might have interest in, and so I'll probably watch it a little more closely than others, So I don't know how we do that systematically as a group, but I do think just inherently there will be tickets that we watch closely and want to do extra work on to verify. To state the obvious, maybe, but it's early for me.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you put it that way because this is where I'm struggling with this process and that maybe like the new ones we talk about as a group, and that can be really helpful to understand what the tickets are about as a group together. But these closed ones, even though I know most of them we haven't talked about as a group because we just haven't had that much time doing this process, but ideally we would have, everyone would know. So maybe the process is just like a quick review the closed and then I take them off the list. But that would also mean the only way for me to programmatically, as Damien would say, remove these from the list would be to add a new label, right? And then to create the list so that it doesn't have the label in here. I could also just remove all the closed. Like closed does not have to be a status that I include on this dashboard. And we can have a completely separate dashboard just for closed, if that would be what people prefer. And then it would just be like a reminder of like, hey, if there's any closed you want to talk about during the meeting, please put it on the agenda.
I think that's a very practical approach. Just filter closed out of the main list, have a separate list of maybe closed in the past 60 days or something, so that we have a couple meetings worth of time to review if we're really concerned about it, and then see how that goes. And we can revisit if something really critical gets missed with that workflow.
Could we have the release as a column in this as well? Because I think maybe we cannot really review it until we see it in Trillium.
Yeah, I could try adding that.
And then
We
it would also be good to not, well, to keep the closed tickets until the release has been implemented by most of us.
Though
Okay.
maybe it does make sense to have a separate list for the closed, because then we could only show the released column in the closed list, because I don't think it will be relevant in the in progress list. Unless it is, which maybe it is. I'm just assuming that the release doesn't necessarily get assigned until close to the end of the process.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll kind of just do a separate page for closed that is its own thing. Include that release column, and we can think about if there's other columns people want me to include just for closed. I can look into that, and then it will become more of a like, if people have closed they want to discuss, to bring it to the meeting, but not to make it like we have to go over every single closed ticket, if that makes sense. Is there any clothes that people want to discuss, or do people want a little more time to look at these before? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I myself have not looked at any of those, so I have no idea what they say, and don't know if they're ones I want to review. Okay, so the next one is the looking at discovery tickets. Okay, so we have two old bugs, because that was another question, and then two things that I drug up onto the board. So first, the older bugs that we did discuss at our last meeting. We were just like, well, what do we do about bugs? Do we track bugs, or like, do we separate them out? And Damien, I know you put on the discovery bug fix label.
I did. I wasn't sure if we wanted it or not, but I figured it didn't hurt. So.
Yeah, and then I think the other question was like, do we even, where is it? Show bugs here. Which I don't think we do. I think I would have to add that column to the Jira tickets. The little icon. Yeah, because you can't really tell from this list what is a bug and what is an epic and what is this, the different
Right.
categories. So yeah, what do people think? Do they want to just keep the bugs on this list? Do we want just to ignore all bugs and not consider them under our scope? Something else?
I mean, I do see value in keeping an eye on them in the sense of if there's a known bug that does not get fixed in a reasonable amount of time, maybe that requires some advocacy to encourage that it do get fixed. But I also I'm sympathetic to the idea that if we have a million bug fixes, those could be distracting from things that are more worthy of, group discussion and planning and so forth. Bug fix, usually the answer is fix the bug, not, what functionality do we want? Though sometimes the line is thin.
Yeah, I think that was my thought behind. I've just had so many bugs where if they don't get fixed, like that is a huge deal to us. And so we want to track if they do or do not get fixed. But that's more on a personal, our system level. It doesn't have to be on this level.
Well, I guess maybe a practical approach is let's list the bugs for now. If we find that there are too many bugs, we can split them to a separate board or take some other action. But let's not solve a problem before we know it exists.
Okay. I can try and figure some way to drag that information onto our dashboard. I'm not, we'll see how easy that is to do. I never know until I get in there. And then we'll just kind of keep it the same for now, but if people are finding those annoying, we can always readjust in the future. Okay. And those have already been labeled, right, Damien?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we do have two new ones. This is the include a direct link of instance logs from Folio to EDS. Yeah, so Damien, not sure if you're in scope. I hesitated before including this one. Although I have to say, like, I was so desperate for this feature, I created my own Chrome extension to make it happen for me. I don't even know how to write JavaScript. I was that desperate. Like, I made it happen, but it took some work. So that's why I was like, I'll include this and let everyone here decide whether this is in scope or not. So this is a feature so that if you're in an instance record and you're like, I want to see what this looks like in EDS, you can click a button. And I also have ViewFind, so I have another button or link rather, it's from the more options bar from this description, that lets me see it directly into ViewFind. And I think that goes to your comment, Damien, that like this should be a more generic feature, or this could be a more generic implementation to allow for all different discovery services. So yeah, first question, is this in scope?
I mean, I think if you think it's in scope because you need it, I can see why others would feel the same way as well. I see the value in it too. I just do it by copying and pasting IDs into URLs, but that could be more challenging depending on how the URLs need to be structured. So
Yeah,
yeah.
no, I can show you. Like, I have my folio.
So maybe while you're bringing it up, Nicole, I'll say that Stanford did a fair amount of custom work to bring in what we call a librarian view. So we don't take the user to Folio or don't take them to the back end, but we parse a bunch of information from Folio for librarians and then have it available in our discovery layer. So to that end, I think there is a use case for discovery layers to have tips or tricks or information that is for staff but available from the discovery layer.
Along similar lines at Villanova, we have a separate ViewFind instance that has staff functionality that's not available in the live one, and that is useful. So,
Wow,
I
I
mean,
just opened a can of worms here. This is fascinating.
yeah, yes, can of worms, exactly. I mean, I have a question for both Sarah and Damian. Like, do you do that because you think it's the right solution, or because the colleagues you're building it for refuse to use Folio for some reason?
We have a mixed, oh, sorry to jump in, Damien, but we have
Oh,
a,
no, go
or
ahead.
to jump in, but we have mixed reasons for doing it. One is we key a bunch of features in discovery off of tenant settings or circulation rules or things like that. So those are aspects of Folio that not everyone has a view capability. So there is good reason to do it because they literally can't see it in Folio and they need to understand, oh, this item has a request link because the circulation rules say it's requestable for these user groups and oh, that's a problem and I need to request that the circ rules be changed, that kind of thing. The second is special collections made a huge case around they have a lot of volunteers. They don't actually want them in Folio. They're more in archive space or in other places, but they have some questions around Folio. Maybe they're language experts, maybe they're, but they're not technology experts and they don't actually want them in Folio still, even with the layers of permissions. So we've got a couple of different reasons. The other thing is we already had it, so we just enhanced it. Right.
Oh, I was so loving those first two answers. I was so loving those first two answers. Like, that's the best answer to that. And then it's like, yeah, we already had it, so we kept it, man.
No, but we did enhance it. And to be honest, we enhanced it for ourselves because for the discovery development team, because those are two different teams at Stanford. We have an access and, the team that builds UIs
for applications, and then we have the library systems group, and those are two different teams. So the communication between those two apps, sometimes for us, it was easier to just be like, okay, what's going on here? And so we added a bunch of things to Librarian View, and then we just left it. So.
Well, similarly at Villanova, I think there are pretty good reasons for our staff view. I mean, there's two functional areas it serves. One is we index all the records in Folio, including the suppressed ones, and then we have a hidden filter on our production site that filters out the suppressed records, but the staff can see suppressed and unsuppressed and facet on them, which can be helpful if we want to find something in weird old records. Also, our whole reporting system is built into Discovery and relies on functionality that lives outside of Folio because Folio doesn't really have the built-in reporting that we need. And then, as a sort of third case, our staff server also serves as the first staging ground for new features that we want to get feedback on. So, I think it
This is
makes sense to have it.
and this is fascinating because th this is beyond what you have in ViewFind right now. So in ViewFind right now, there is a staff view for the mark of the record, which EDS does not have, correct? Yeah. So when I thinking about discovery environments and special data that they supply to help librarians run the service better, our service is better. I think mainly about exposing that underlying mark metadata for our catalogers so that they know why format, like if I let them know this is exactly how we're mapping formats in ViewFind, they could look at the leader from within that record without even having to go to Folio and see, oh, that's because, position 7 is an M and not an N, and that's why it's showing as this format. Obviously, something a user I would hope would never ever do, or most librarians, but like for catalogers, they would know, and that would let them troubleshoot really fast. If they're like, this is marked as a score and it's a CD, that is really strange and not helpful at all to our users, right? So it does help the users in the end to sometimes have this information available. But Damien, what you're talking about is even deeper than Mark. And Sarah, what you're talking about is even deeper than Mark, although I know you would display that as well. It's like the circ rules, which is amazing, or it's like suppress records, or it's reporting, which is like checkout numbers. Do you do that, Damien?
All kinds of things, financial
My
reports,
gosh.
overdue books reports, all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Okay.
And stuff that we wouldn't want the public to see, which is why we have it on a server that there's no possible way anyone outside the staff could get to from in multiple ways. So.
Yeah.
That would be so interesting to see.
Okay, let's see. And that is let's go
On the bottom right there. We try to hide
there we
it a
go.
bit. So then you can open any of those areas. But we've got JSONs, we've got metadata. The item details, that was specific to special collections. This is not an interesting one, but special collections has a long history of like 1,000 items on one catalog record. And Folio, you just like they just don't want to page through that. So they come here, they open up item details, and they do a control F and find the barcode they're looking for or the volume that they're looking for. So this is not an interesting one, but
No, that's a very nice feature. And I get, like, I think the staff view of the record, I see, even though it is staff view, I see it as akin to the export tab that you might have, in ViewFinder or the Discovery. It's just taking that record and exposing it in a different format, which you can imagine being used for other purposes, data harvesting for good and evil and so forth. It's
Yeah.
sort of some of the things like the circ rules that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like that's not directly about the record. That's how the system is configured to handle the record. But I
Right.
get the explanation, Sarah, about not all staff could access that. So,
Yeah.
sure.
And It was there was a little bit of controversy around like, oh, you're revealing like how much we're gonna charge for a lost item right there, and is that really information that we want to show to the general public? And I was like, I don't know what general public comes here and clicks on circ rules and scrolls down and but if they do, like it like isn't this just what you tell our users on the web page? They're gonna have to pay if they lose a book, like there's not.
Yeah, I was gonna say that should be public
Anyway,
policy.
should
Like,
be public
hopefully,
information.
if you
And
lose it, you'll
what it,
find out what
I
you.
mean, what it does is like in the first year of implementation, when things were a little bit wonky, especially in our very complicated circ rules, this answered a lot of questions for people. It tells me exactly what circ rule is applied to this item, or to this record.
I think all these arguments make sense. I think in parallel, it would also be an interesting concept for us to develop more browser plugins, as Nicole was suggesting before,
Exactly.
right? I mean,
This is just
the
our solution.
yeah, no, totally. But if we have more of a set of, you could plugins can mean a lot of things, from smart bookmarks to user scripts to actual plugins, but links from a discovery record page, to the folio instance page for it, the items pages for it, the circ rule that applies to it, like that could be an interesting set of staff-facing functionality for discovery.
Exactly. Yeah. And quick
Yeah.
links and visible only, view only. Because it's the view only that is the reason why people can't see it. So.
Yeah, and I do want to add that, like, so this is EDSB, this is the opposite direction, right? This is from Folio to discovery. And what we're talking about is not even discovery to Folio, but it's discovery sh showing some of the underlying circulation rules and metadata in the discovery environment. So, same kind of purpose, right? You're wanting to know why the thing is doing the thing, but a different method that fits into certain workflows much better than what this is arguing for, which is more like the record in EDS B. So I have this I copied from Cornell. I don't know if it's actually going to work. Let's see.
And to your point, Nicole, I do think that this the other direction is important too. There's a fair amount of copying and pasting that happens. And I don't know if other institutions are like this, but we have to put a leader in front of ours for different consortial, different groups. And so that's not always obvious. And we do a lot to try to make that as easy as possible by just auto adding some leaders, but a direct link in Folio to your discovery sounds great. Love that.
I was thinking that, we're a multi-institution single tenant psychologist, and that I was thinking that not rather than being at the instance level, being at the holding level would let our member institutions kind of target their record versus because we've got five different EDSs. Locally, we use a browser extension TextBlaze, and I've written some little macros that can add the different prefixes to the accession number and then open a link into the appropriate EDS instance.
That's interesting. And so that makes me think, yeah, we do want to kind of follow these things. They are important. Jen, it makes me think I put this on here. It wasn't created recently, but it was updated recently, and I'm trying to get more information, but it's loading on me. But that could be something maybe you add to this ticket kind of as a use case of what you would like to see, especially since this is EDS specific.
Yeah, and also even thinking about like consortia in ECS, like does the link go on the shadow record? Does it go on the, and when you have that kind of multiple copies of a record,
Yeah. No, and I'm glad you mentioned it too, because I wouldn't have thought of that use case. Since we're not working in that consortial environment like you are. Okay, so I think it's worth dragging over to the list. Please add some of your comments about this on here so they can see that we're discussing and we're actually really interested in this. I think I can add some from my own institution as well. And then for that other one, if anyone knows of a Jira that is talking about that feature of allowing a discovery, especially because EDS has like nothing of allowing that, then that would be a nice place we can put some of these use cases we've been discussing about, like, here's why that would be helpful for end users and get that out there. And see who else is like, no, I really want this feature. This is something we've been struggling with. And then the last ticket we have is another bug, and it's about title holds. And I believe this one was created or updated yesterday. Okay, so this was created a while back, but it's being updated currently. And yeah, so this is a bug.
Is this
So
still a bug? This seems nasty.
yeah.
Oh, I see. So they're asking if it's still an issue, and we're waiting to find out if it's still an issue by retesting it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I was like, I remember reading something about that. So, do we want to just keep it on this list and like revisit it next meeting? Hopefully, everyone's like, yes, this is not an issue.
Yeah, no harm in putting the bug label on it if we want to do that,
Okay.
which also raises the question of what to label the previous one we talked about.
Oh yeah, that one I put metadata display, but it could be another value.
A little different than I think how you've been using that particular label.
Yeah, I mean,
But I don't
it may
know.
be so unique that we'd have to give it its own label, and I'm not sure if it's worth ha having a label if it's the only one that ever, fits the category of linking to discovery from the admin backend.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of like what would this be used for, and it's a lot of time. Yeah, no, you're right. Because I was like, oh, I did request, and all this other stuff could technically be. We could just put it as topics. I don't. I
That's what I
just.
was thinking. Like
Yeah, I think
it
that's.
really is, it touches on enough things that.
Okay.
All right, I will put this on now.
But Nicole, if you'd like to share your little browser extension, that could be fun to play with.
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to. It works. It repeats labels, it does some funny things, but it works. And I use it every single day, multiple times, which is why that was an important yes, more functionality for us with the
We
discovery.
also have a what we're calling magic buttons, Chalmers, that transfers us between back and forth between EDS Folio and also the national catalog part. So it's very, very, very useful.
That's cool. What did you use to design the magic buttons?
Yeah, we used Larry. I had to ask him
Oh, okay.
something. I think it's not too complicated. Bookmarklets.
Okay. Cool.
So I can ask him and I can put it in the Slack channel.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I know I was so happy with mine, and then I saw what Library Congress did with their Chrome extension. I'm like, whoa, I am way out of my depth with Chrome extensions. That's amazing.
I think we have had the hours from the very start and
That
using them
makes sense. I know,
frequently.
yeah, Cornell had theirs from the very start as well.
Being browser-based gives a lot of options for different ways of customizing.
Right. But I am excited, like it makes more sense to just build it in and not have, yeah, have it available for everybody.
I've considered, I mean, this was prompted by EBSCO, to be honest, but I've considered, you know, that we have a need for a parallel sig to the discovery sig for staff facing extensions of that sort to talk about best practices of how they could be developed and what features we need in Folio to better support them and that sort of thing. And then sort of what design patterns are too much. Like what should we stop doing with external facing integrations, you know. How far do we want to go with that sort of thing versus effort into Folio itself? I don't know what you would call that sig, you know, non-discovery integrations from outside sig. That'd be a little long.
Well, so many of the
Just
Library Congress
integrations.
ones, yeah,
No. I mean, integrations could be really interesting.
that's true.
Sorry, Nicole.
No, that's a great point, because what does an integration even mean? I think about that question a lot.
Well, it's true, but I do think it have being staff focus is different than what this sig is doing with discovery focus integrations, right? So, yeah, integrations parentheses not discovery sig. You know, I could see that working.
Yeah, well, and also because like we talked about like the metadata display, that's a lot of times for troubleshooting discovery issues, whereas like some of what the Library Congress was doing was like metadata manipulation, which it speaks to the faults in data import and data export currently, and mark edit and the stuff in inventory for people who work with mark that just isn't there. So that's it's almost like it's a subset of metadata with a couple of like other things thrown in with, yeah, it's a big integration. That's a great title because it's big, covers so many.
Yeah, I mean, I built a stupid little browser plugin for an ERM task recently that uses a field on the agreements record and creates a adds a menu to Folio to link out to a platform called Celis, which is another reporting tool. So, you know, that's not metadata, except in the sense that e-resources is also metadata, but it's not metadata in the Folio sense.
Yeah. We should have a meet. Maybe you could start your SIG because now you're leading it, where you like do a kickoff where we all get together and talk about the plugins or things we develop that we use all the time that aren't Folio. And then from there, you could kind of focus on the.
I'm thinking as I get term limited from technical council this summer, that'll be something that, you know, I try to start up after that, perhaps. I think they'll be
That
interesting.
would be great. Then we'll hand all these tickets over to you. Be like, yeah, you can champion them. Well, we
I'm
are.
conflicted because like it shouldn't have to exist, right? Like all these things, it's absolutely good that Folio supports them and it should support them. And also, we should build this stuff into Folio proper so we don't have to do it in the first place. You know, so it's a tension there that I think is sort of for me the fundamental thing about the SIG is, you know, how do we get a grasp on what we've been doing and maybe do it a little less, but also do it better.
Yes. Because once you develop it, even if it's kind of wonky, you're like, well, it works now. I'm not going to complain in the Folio community for it. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we are coming on the hour. So I just want to say thank you, everybody, for your input today. Yes, if you could find a Jira for like discovery facing improvements to things to show staff, put it in the meeting notes or let me know so I can put it on the board because I'd be very interested in that. I'll work on getting these tickets archived as well as I promise to do some, oh yeah, updating the list for the dashboard. Yeah, and I'll see you all in 2 weeks, I think.
Great.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.